together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, as we reflect on this past week, how you have blessed us, how you have provided each and every day, and Father, how you protected us. So, Father, now we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and would ask, Father, that you would bless our time this morning, bless our time now, and bless our time later as we have our worship service. May you, Father, ultimately be exalted. May you be glorified through everything that we say and everything that we do. We ask, Father, now that you would be with Jason as he just shares with us his testimony. Pray, Father, that even throughout this weekend and over the next couple weeks, that you would grant all of us wisdom and discernment that we know, Father, ultimately comes from you. Again, we love you and we thank you, and we pray all of these things in the wonderful and precious name of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Jason, feel free to wander around, do whatever you like.
I stay up here because the microphone will help me, so I don't have to spend a lot of my voice this morning. But I just want to thank everybody. It is a privilege and a blessing for me to be here. I do love this area. My dad is from this area, so we have a lot of family around here on his side. I'm going to give you a warning. You know, I come from Leesburg, Virginia, which is just outside of Washington, D.C. So to everybody north of that, we're Southern. Everybody south of us, we're Yankees. But the one thing that you will hear me say a lot, I don't have a lot of Southern language. I don't think I have an accent, although I've been told I do have a slight one, especially when I'm being goofy or when I get a little upset. But the one Southern thing that will come out of my mouth a lot is y'all. I will say y'all. I won't even think about it. So I'm just going to throw that out there. You're going to hear that quite a few times from me today. But I grew up around Leesburg, Virginia. I was born in Langley Air Force Base. My dad was in the Air Force. We moved around a couple of times, lived at Fort Meade, and then eventually made our way to Jersey. But by the time I was five, we were in Leesburg, attended John's family's church. Pretty much, I was one of the first churches I remember going to. And it's the only church, really, been there so long. It's the only church I really remember going to. So John's family and my family are very close. You know, their youngest son was about 4 years older than myself, and so we spent a lot of time together. But that's really where a lot of my spiritual formation happened. You know, I hear in the Word from a very young age, grew up in a Christian family, but I don't recall repenting of my sins. I don't recall ever repenting and following Jesus Christ as Lord until I was 15. We went to a camp called the Wilds, and it was down in North Carolina. And I just remember the speaker talking. He had been a very similar testimony, had grown up in the church. He had heard the gospel all his life, but at some point in time, he realized that he had never repented to God as a sinner. He still was the one calling the shots in his life. And so at 15, I gave myself to the Lord. And it, like you all know, it's not like it gets easy after that. I was a high schooler, some things happened in my family that caused a lot of strife, and I found myself, especially towards the later years in high school, being very angry, rebelling a lot. John at this time had come back as youth pastor. He might, if he's gracious enough, he probably won't share those stories about me. But just found myself in a lot of anguish. And the reason why is because as a Christian, I found that you can't live the life of sin. You can't live the life of a sinner anymore unless you really want to wrestle with the Holy Spirit. You'll never have peace as a Christian. And that's a good thing. The conviction of God takes over. But I'm glad to say I eventually lost that fight. God won me over in that, and I found myself sort of repurposing my life to Him my sophomore year of college. I went to Liberty University. Didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew that Liberty seemed like a good place, seemed like a lot of fun. And so I was like, why not go there? My sophomore year there, however, I discovered in some of my classes, my sister is 13 months. I have one sister. She is 13 months younger than I, and every bit is smarter than me in pretty much everything. And so we took a lot of classes together, both attended Liberty, and she would always get better grades than me in every single class, except for one, and that was theology. And that's because I just found myself, I loved it. I loved talking about the Word. I loved learning about God. I loved explaining God to people. I just found no greater joy in my life. And so I of course, was motivated to study like no other in that class. And it's the one time I could actually get a better grade than her in things. And so I started praying about, you know, is this what a call to ministry looks like? You know, because sometimes you hear about that phrase, being given a call. And it's always so confusing for each person. It looks a little differently, but I do believe that in ministry, you do need a distinct call because of the difficulties and just the stress that can come. You need that confidence that you have the power of God and the call of God behind you. So I started praying through that and opened up my heart and said, you know what, God, I don't know what ministry you would have me do, but I'm gonna kind of give you just a blank check and you just write what you want. And so I started praying and investigating all kinds of ministries. And my junior year, there was a call in our convocation, which was like our chapel, to join the Cambodian mission trip. And I had been familiar with Cambodia because John's uncle had served there for a long time. And so he'd visit the church and we would hear about Cambodia. And I was like, oh, that's a country I kind of know. Who knows? Maybe I'll run into him over there. Why not join that trip? Which, of course, I didn't realize he was like way out in the jungle in the sticks. And like I would be in the city in the urban area. So there was no chance of us running into each other. But decided, hey, you know, let's join that trip and go for it. I never left the country before. Almost had joined a Mexico mission trip in high school, but my grandmother had fallen ill, and so we couldn't make that trip. So I was like, you know what, Cambodia it is. I didn't really even know where Cambodia was on the map, to be honest. A lot of people today don't know where it is. I had a few people, and for your edification, it's between Thailand and Vietnam, so Southeast Asia. I had people when I would go, and I said, well, man, we'll be praying for you while you're off in Africa. And I was like, well, thanks. God will understand what that means. So we went to Cambodia, and it was just such a bizarre experience. Completely different climate. Obviously, completely different culture. I remember the first, we landed like midnight in Phnom Penh, which is the capital, and we walked out, and the first thing I remember is that it's humid, and it smells pretty awful, because they just don't have any sort of the infrastructure that we take for granted here in the States. So open sewers all over the street. And that's the only thing I remember. The next morning after we had gotten up, we're riding these tuk-tuks, which are like these little carriages pulled by little motorcycles. And I was so in culture shock. I couldn't help myself but laugh. And we're at this stoplight, you know, hundreds of people around us on motos. Just look around. And I was just laughing because I was like, this is the first time in my life that I'm one of only like 8 white people in the entire crowd. I'm like, I am in the minority here. This is just a very bizarre thing. But I remember looking back and how we'd been praying coming over for that trip. We had prayed because 98% of the country is what you refer to as Theravada Buddhist, and less than 1% are Christian. And effectively, I mean, those are numbers. Effectively, that means that every person you're going to meet is not a Christian. And Cambodia, if you're not familiar, has a very, very volatile history. Communists took over in the 70s and was one of the worst genocides in the history of the 20th century. Killed over 2 million people in a 3-year span. They had been fighting civil war after civil war, no stable government until just in the past 15 years. And so I was thinking as I was sitting there, I was like, if something were to happen, if a bomb were to go off right here and kill every one of us, that probably means that we're the only 8 of us that are going to be in heaven that day. And I felt this burden like I'd never felt before, to tell everyone around me about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about the good news, and to let them know, at least give them a chance to hear it. Because so many people in that country and in other countries, they go their entire lives never knowing the name of Jesus. There's story after story of missionaries who approach villages like this area of the world, and they'll ask them if they ever heard of Jesus, and the response will be, no, maybe you should check the next town over. There might be a guy named that there. Because they just have no clue. They have no idea that God came down to pay for their sins, and that his son suffered on the cross for that. And so they have no chance to even hear the name, much less call on the name for salvation. And so it was there in Cambodia for that 2-week trip that I was like, man, not only do I want to tell the lost, I want to tell the Cambodians about Jesus. And so I went back home because the first mission trip you ever go on, you always have that sort of honeymoon stage where everything is wonderful. It's the awesomest place in the entire world, and there's no cooler people than the people you met on that mission trip. So I decided to give it a few months and pray. Try and let that feeling sort of subside and get some objective perspective on this thing. But I still felt the call 4 months later, so I approached the gentleman who was with Crossworld Missions Organization. He led the team, and I said, hey, what does an internship look like? What does it look like to go over there for a longer stint? And we worked with that, and so we decided 6 months would be a good short term. I was supposed to go with another guy from our trip. He ended up falling off, so I kind of went by myself, and thankfully, we found 2 nurses that could go with me. One was a lady who had been a missionary in the jungles of Brazil. And so the tropical sort of climate and also all the fun diseases you can contract, she's been experienced with. So that sort of had that base covered. The other one was a lady named Nancy. She was a widow in her 60s. Her husband had passed away a couple years ago, and she just felt God saying, all right, it's time to not retire, but just pick up and let's go overseas and let's do some work. And so she left, and it was part of our three-person team, and it was great. I thankfully was able to go with relatively good health. Did spend a couple of days in a medical center and almost had to get shipped off to Bangkok, which is a fun story for another time. But it was an awesome experience, and I just loved it. I taught in the Royal University of Law and Economics, which sounds way more impressive than it really is, because every university is the Royal University of something or other there. But it's fun to say. I taught English. I taught conversational English. I taught what we called business English, which was basically teaching them how to have a job interview with somebody from the Western world. And a lot of what we focused on was getting kids ready for what's called the TOEFL test, which is the English exam a lot of them will take if they want to go into an English-speaking nation and go to university. And so we would get them prepped. Like, here's how you need to get rid of your accent, because unfortunately there's a thing that says if you have an accent, you're less intelligent. It's not true, but it's just the way it is. So let's work on cleaning up that accent a little bit. And Khmer and English are two totally different languages. So some of the difficulties there with them pronouncing and understanding is a lot of fun. What that was, though, is not just simply teaching English, but building relationships with the idea that, hey, part of your assignment is you got to practice 20 hours a week. And if you come to our student center and you talk English with us, we count that. So just come by and we'll talk, get to build some more relationships there, and then invite them to something called Friendship Club, which was a Christian student group. And that's where we can really share the gospel, get into sort of the word, because there's some strict laws about proselytizing in Cambodia. And so you gotta walk that line and kinda in the Lord's wisdom figure out when to break that rule, when to follow that rule. But I did that for 6 months and came back in 2010, and I was on fire. I was like, I am going back full time. I'm gonna live the rest of my life in ridiculous tropical heat, and it's gonna be a blast. There were days where you leave the door in Cambodia and you just know this is the driest you're gonna be all day, and just be thankful for it, and then just walk out and start to sweat. But I was ready to go back. I was like, man, this is it. This is my calling. This is my passion. This is what God wants me to do. And so I got a small part-time job at a rec center to kind of help make a little bit of money while I was raising support. Got 20% of my support raised like in the first couple of weeks, and then it just stopped. It's like God turned off the faucet, closed the door, and it was for the next year, a very frustrating experience. Because here I had this passion for what I thought was something godly. It was something that God wanted. It obviously is good. So why is this not working? I would go to churches and go to their missions fairs, and I would talk to the pastors and the people, and they would leave like, oh, we're looking so forward to it. We're pretty sure we're going to support you. We're going to pray about it. And then I would leave, and I get a letter a week later saying, after praying about it, we've decided that God is not leading us to support you. And after like the fifth or sixth letter you get like that, you start to get a little mad. And so I'm sitting there looking at this nice, well, not nice. It's a chart. It's pretty ugly. I can't draw to save my life. But there's a chart I had. You know, I was so excited to fill that up to 20% mark. First week, man, I'm cooking. I'm gonna make this easy. And it stayed there at the same line. Started getting dust on it and everything. And I'm just looking at it, and I'm just like, God, what are you doing? Because I thought we were on the same page here. I thought we knew what we were doing. And so I told the people around me, I said, let's start praying, because I was working the whole time at that rec center. It's a pretty big one where we're from, Idalee. They're part of the town's parks and rec department. And I'd do camps. I would be at the front desk mostly standing around doing nothing, waiting for somebody to either register or complain about registration. And so I started praying, God, you know, if I'm going to be here for any length of time, can we find some ministry to do? Because I really do want to just minister to people. And I didn't know what that would look like in the States. My best ministry experience had come halfway around the world. And so I had done one youth internship, and that was my only really domestic ministry experience. And so we just started praying. And 2 weeks after that, at one of my opening shifts, which you have to get there at 3-4 o'clock in the morning for, and so it's about 6 at this point. So, you know, I'm not always the most talkative mood at that time. But a lady comes up. I happen to notice her keychain says Radford. I was like, oh, Radford. We play them in basketball twice a year because Liberty and Radford are in the same conference. And she told me later, she's like, yeah, I don't really talk to people. And she was just coming up to re-register for a yoga class. And she said, yeah, my daughter's graduating from there. I said, yeah. I said, I graduated from Liberty. And I told her, you know, I was a missionary. And we just got to talking. And she says, well, it's funny you bring that up. My church is looking for an intern. And so why don't you talk to our youth pastor about doing that? And this was just after we had started praying about ministry. I was like, okay, I'll work with this. Let's take a step at a time. And that's Leesburg Community Church. And I started interning as the youth intern, talked with the pastor and the youth pastor there, and we agreed that it was only going to be a 3-month thing. Now I'm going to be there to intern, help out the youth program for a little bit. and then make some connections with people and then start. Maybe that's the springboard God was giving me to go back to Cambodia. At the end of 3 months, the connections weren't quite there, and I actually started liking my time there. It was a lot of fun. I had met this young lady named Melissa, and she seemed, for whatever reason, to like me a little bit, and I liked her a lot. And so I said, well, you know what? She was the worship intern there, and over the summer, we had gotten to talking because we were doing this this little program for the church, and during one of the downtimes while the band was practicing, we just got to talking, and I asked her, you know, what kind of movies she likes, and she told me, you know, well, I really like, you know, these movies. Like, well, let's go out and see the movie then. And in my mind, because I never would have done this myself, in my mind I'm thinking it'll be a college ministry thing. We'll invite Dylan, we'll invite Cecilia, we'll invite all the college kids who are back this summer. But I never vocalized that. And I was thinking, maybe she thinks that we're going on a date now. And it's a good thing that she did, because 2 years later, I think is what we figured out, just over 2 years later, we got married. And so Pastor Allen always jokes that the whole reason why I came to LCC was to get married. That was God's whole purpose in that. But at the end of that first summer, I actually liked my ministry there. Up until this point, I had difficulty working with teenagers because I can be very black and white about things sometimes, and teenagers in America can be very not. But I really enjoyed my ministry there, and so I said, well, here, let's do this. I'll be the part-time middle school pastor until December. And then after December, our youth pastor left, and Allen said, we really need a youth pastor. And just the way God works out things, I told him that, no, I really can't do that. That's not my gifting. That's not my skill set. So I can't be your youth pastor. And then that Friday, I was going in to teach the middle schoolers about Moses. I said, Moses needed to follow the will of God. And when God gave him a call, his excuses were, no, God, that's not my skill set. That's not what I can do. That's not my abilities. And I realized God had been working not with the middle schoolers, but my own heart through what I was teaching the middle schoolers. And I was like, man. So I prayed about it. And even though it wasn't a very comfortable decision for me, I did take over as youth pastor that January of 2012. And I remember sitting at my desk and thinking, I have no clue what I should be doing right now. I'm completely over my head. But I was a youth pastor there. I moved from youth pastor to youth and missions and took over the missions department at the church. And that's been a huge blessing because I still have that cross-cultural desire to reach to people. I've been to now Romania. I've been to India. I've visited Thailand. I've been to Haiti. I have prayed and translated into a lot of different languages. And there is something very special. I know a lot of people in America look at it and say, why do you spend all that money on plane tickets? Because you could just give it for food. But there's what they always forget is that you can't put a price tag on the relationships that are built. In Romania, we had a 5-year partnership, and we built churches, we built after-school programs, we did youth camps, we did vacation Bible school, we've seen kids, as many as 3 in a camp come to the Lord, and as many as 70 in one camp, and all of that is fantastic, it all has internal significance, but for me, the biggest thing that came out of that Romania partnership is that Pastor Atala and I are friends, and we keep in touch, we talk to each other over Skype, we pray for one another, when we go before God, there's something when you've seen a ministry in person that happens in your heart to where your prayer life, it changes your prayer life. It's one thing to pray for somebody in faith that maybe you never met or never seen what they do. But when you go over and partner with them, even for just a week or two in that ministry, suddenly you're invested. I mean, you're going to defend it. You're going to advocate for that ministry through prayer and to people like you never would before. And so now, unfortunately, recently, it's been a little hard at the church. Pastor Allen has had to retire. He's had a lot of health issues, and the doctors finally told him, you need to either step down or this will take your life, and probably in the near future. And so he stepped down. God is blessing him right now. He actually is feeling good, but Allen's problem is when he starts feeling good, he wants to get back to work. And so his wife and those that God has put around him are trying to encourage him, no, stay put. God has called you to rest, and you're going to rest. And so right now, it's just a time, you know, we're all looking for God's guidance. John reached out to me about the same day that Allen told me he was retiring. And I talked to Pastor Allen. He was like, you should definitely go up there, you know, check it out and pray with him about it. And so, if there's one thing I want to communicate is just that I love doing ministry. I love it, almost too much because sometimes you gotta put guards on your own life, learn to rest. The Sabbath is something that was established before sin even entered the world, so it's something that we were created for to begin with. And so it's a matter of remembering to take that time to rest in the Lord, but otherwise I could spend all day and all week talking about ministry, talking about ways to reach people, looking for ways to reach people, getting creative in ways of reaching people. It's just something that I could do all day and all night. And so that's really just who I am. One of the things is that if you're not really interested in doing ministry, I can hang out with you every now and then, but I probably won't have a lot of time because I'm going to be hanging around people who like to do ministry. So at this point, I mean, if you guys want to ask any questions, you can fire away. I'm willing to answer anything. Yes, ma'am. Well, you know what? This past year was a little difficult. I went to Haiti twice, I went to Romania twice, and I went to India and Thailand all in the span of a year. And one thing I discovered was a lot of truth in what Paul said was as someone who is not married, you have a lot more capabilities and freedom to do ministry at a certain level that you really can't. It's not that I don't like it. I do. It's just that it gets harder and harder every time, you know, I have to leave Melissa and because you only got to go with me on one of those trips. So there is a yearning. I do still love it. I went back to Cambodia for the first time in 10 years. And one thing I discovered there was A, Phnom Penh is growing at an unbelievable rate. And secondly, not quite the same heart to go back there. I liked it. It was hot. But I looked around me and I realized that God, that what I've been doing the past 10 years had been God's call. And that just wasn't where I am. So I still love going overseas and praying with people and ministering. But as far as full-time ministry, it's not the same as it was 10 years ago. Any other questions? I'll be available at the fellowship afterwards. Is Jonathan trying to ask a question? Is that what that is back there? Yeah. It's been great to be up here in Western PA. One thing I may have forgotten to mention is that I am, yes, a huge Steelers, Penguins, Pirates, and Panthers fan. I will cheer for the Nittany Lions, but thankfully that rivalry's back, and I still was very happy to see the outcome of that game be what it was. Yes, sir. That's a great question. My official title now is teaching and missions pastor. And so before Alan retired, it was part of my duties that whenever Alan would not be there for a service, either vacation or he did take a summer sabbatical, I'd be the one to take over pulpit duties. And I love preaching the word. And I do think as early as elementary, middle school, I had people in my life encouraging me that I was probably gifted in that area. And as much as I tried to hide from it, I think it turned out to be true. I just enjoy it a lot. I don't get to preach there quite as much as I'd like. I preach with the youth frequently. I'm taking over a couple of services here in this time. But we brought back an old executive pastor from the church who was there. And so they brought back someone familiar for this time of transition. He takes over most of the pulpit duties, but I'll be taking one over here at the end of October and towards the middle of November. I've been preaching for a while now. I love it so much that one time in Romania over the course of a week, I preached 37 different sermons, which I loved. And so people don't understand that part doesn't bother me. You can ask me to preach all you want. I'll spend all the time in the world prepping for it. Some of the more administrative tasks, that's the one that kind of tires me out from time to time. But I love to preach. Any others? One thing I would just encourage y'all in there it is, y'all, in praying is, you know, just that we seek the will of God, because there are so many good things in this world. That's the difficulty in decision making. There's a lot of things that are good, but trying to find the things that God has called you to do, that can be the difficult part. And to search out, you know, our own hearts and trying to figure out what is it. Are the desires of our heart really the desires of God, or are they the desires of our own hearts? Unfortunately, we can be easily deceived by our own hearts. Jeremiah says it's more deceptive than anything else in our life, is our very own hearts and thoughts. So just be praying, because while we may see things that are good, You can see numerous examples of people in the Bible who made decisions on what they saw was good, but it turned out that it wasn't the thing of God, and it didn't have his blessing on it. And that's where you want to be, is you want to be in the will of God. Because if you're in the will of God, even the impossible suddenly becomes possible. You know, Abraham and Sarah's child, they thought was impossible. But being the will of God, God can work any miracle he needs to get his will accomplished. So as we're praying, I'd like us to pray for that. You know, I'm praying that God makes it abundantly clear, because he knows I could be a dummy from time to times, and I could be very blind to certain things, so that he would just make it abundantly clear what each next step in this whole process will look like for both of us. I'm not sure, how long does Sunday school usually go to? Okay. Right. And I'll make myself available for that. Okay. Awesome. Sounds fun. All right, then. Well, if there's no other questions, then I will make myself available both after this and as well as after the service today. But let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray over this and just pray over each other. Let's go to God. Oh, Holy Father, we just thank you that at this time we know that there are believers and followers all around the world that are lifting up their voice to you. God, and in your omniscience, you just you hear it all, and you know it all. And God, I can't fathom what it is like to know all the variables and all the situations and all the possible outcomes. And God, that you have picked the most righteous, and you have picked the most the one that fits your glory the most, God, is just unfathomable to me. And so, God, that's why we can come to you with confidence, knowing that as we make our requests, that you will take them, God, and you will work all situations together for good, for those that love you, God, and those that you have called according to your purpose. And we just thank you so much that you are so good to sinners like ourselves, God, that you have bought back with your Son, Jesus Christ. And we worship you for that. And so, Father, as we keep moving forward in this process, I just thank you that no matter what the outcome is, you have allowed our paths to cross, that we can worship today together, that we can share in each other's faith and encourage one another. God, as we all run this great race, that we encourage each other to keep our eyes on the prize, Father, to press on, to strip away every burden, every sin, so that we can run the race with confidence and in the glory of Jesus Christ. Father, because that's who we want the glory to go to for all of this. Is we want Jesus Christ's name to be made great here in Western PA, as well as around the DC area, as well as across the globe. God, that in the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that he is Lord. Father, let our speech today, let what we learn today, let everything that we do and all the decisions that are made in this this scenario, God, let that be a glory to Jesus Christ. And that's our we confess today that is our heart's desire. We pray this all in his name and authority. Amen.